Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the next meeting of the Garrett County Commissioners. Nice to see so many of you attend. We have a full agenda today, and if you would, if everyone would rise, and Commissioner Kitchener is going to give the invocation.
It's all about the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today thanking you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for the glorious weekend that we just had, remembering those that we've lost in the past years, Lord. Thank you for that. Lord, we just ask that you be with each and every one of us here as we make the decisions to rule the county here. We ask that we make wise decisions, that you be with us, and everything we do is pleasing to you. Lord, we ask now that you just continue to guide and direct us, and we will thank you for all that you do for us. In your Father and Son's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Now for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Mr. Peganhart, do we have any additions, deletions, corrections to the agenda?
No, sir.
Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion, a second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved as written. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting, or any additions, corrections, or deletions to the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved as written. We have several proclamations today. The first one is for Flag Day, and I'll apologize to everybody in advance for hearing me read so much at this meeting. Proclamation of Flag Day, June 14, 2015, whereas by Act of Congress of the United States, dated June 14, 1777, the first official flag of the United States was adopted, and whereas by Act of Congress, dated August 3, 1949, National Flag Day was designated each year as June 14, and whereas Congress requested the President of the United States to issue annually a proclamation designating the week in which June 14 occurs as National Flag Week, and whereas Flag Day celebrates our nation's symbol of unity, a democracy and a republic, and stands for our country's devotion to freedom, to the rule of law, and to equal rights for all, and whereas Garrett County desires to pay its respect to the many veterans who have served the armed forces of this great nation and to support all veterans, both men and women, who gave their lives for our freedoms and those who returned to us after sacrificial and faithful service, now therefore be it resolved that we, the Garrett County Board of Commissioners, proclaim the 14th day of June 2015 as Flag Day, and we encourage all citizens to join in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and nation and invite all citizens to participate in a June 14th, 2015 celebration of Flag Day, signed by the order of all three members of this board. And Sandy Blamble is here to accept this proclamation.
I can look over by the flag for our pictures.
You can. Down. Next on the agenda is a proclamation for Deep Creek Lake's 90th birthday. May 26, 2015, Board of Garrett County Commissioners recognition of Deep Creek Lake 90th birthday celebration. Whereas Deep Creek Lake in Garrett County is Maryland's largest freshwater lake, covering nearly 3,900 acres and is 11.6 miles in length with a shoreline of 65 miles. The average depth of Deep Creek Lake is 26.5 feet, with the maximum depth being 72 feet. Whereas in the early 1920s, the Eastern Land Corporation, a subsidiary of the Youghiogheny Hydroelectric Corporation, purchased land in Garrett County, Maryland for the purpose of power generation. Three hydroelectric projects were envisioned, one on a major stream called Deep Creek, which flows into the Youghiogheny River, and the others on the Youghiogheny River itself. Almost 8,000 acres of land was purchased around Deep Creek, its tributaries, and along the Youghiogheny River. Whereas the construction work on the project began on December 1, 1923, and it was culmination of a 20-year dream and speculation by Garrett County businessmen to harness the water of the Youghiogheny River watershed for hydroelectric power. There were at least three possible locations for dams along the river to take advantage of this change in elevation. It was an ideal geographical situation, with the discharge water of each dam going into the next one. Unfortunately, only one dam of the three was ever built due to cost. Whereas to construct a 1,300-foot-long impoundment dam to stem the flow of water, thousands of trees that grew in the valley of Deep Creek and its tributaries were cut down and logs hauled away to sawmills. Only the stumps were left. When it was completed, 1,000 men had worked on the project, 12 miles of railroad had been built, and 15 miles of primary and secondary roads had been relocated. Total cost of the project was over $9 million. Whereas a 2-mile tunnel was dug from the dam to the powerhouse to carry the water for the generator turbines. After the tunnel was plugged in March 1925, there was the expectation it would take 6 or 8 months for the lake to fill. However, heavy rains and snow during March and April in 1925 changed this figure dramatically. Whereas at 4 p.m. on May 26, 1925, the switch was thrown at the powerhouse and the hydroelectric plant went online. The dream of harnessing water of the Youghiogheny River and its tributaries for power had become reality. Whereas this dam became known as Deep Creek Station Hydroelectric Project and was operated by a predecessor company of Pennsylvania Electric Company. In 2000, the state of Maryland purchased the land underlying Deep Creek Lake, buffer zone properties, and certain other parcels from General Public Utility Incorporated for $17 million. During its 2000 session, as the sale is being finalized, the Maryland General Assembly passed legislation to guide future management of the lake and established a Deep Creek Lake Policy and Review Board that will provide guidance for the wise use, protection, and management of natural and recreational resources of the lake. Whereas Deep Creek Lake helps attract approximately 1.2 million visitors a year and has lured second homeowners, retirees, and entrepreneurs who desire to be close in proximity to the lake. Now, therefore, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, hereby celebrate, along with all citizens and visitors, Deep Creek Lake's 90th birthday, honoring it as a natural and recreational resource and economic engine for the county, and will continue to recognize the importance of ensuring the health of the lake for future generations. Signed by all three county commissioners. And here to accept, we actually have three proclamations. One will be going to the Chamber of Commerce, which is represented today by Sarah Duck. One to the POA, represented by Bob Hoffman. One by Friends of Deep Creek Lake, represented by Barbara Beeler. And also David Meyerberg from the PRB. So if you all would come forward and we'll do the proclamation.
Could you read that one again?
After the meeting.
More times real quick.
I'm trying to breathe.
Hey, can you go in and get that other proclamation? There should be one more. Bob already has his.
Are there no flags? Shouldn't we do that?
You guys,
going out of here.
How do we
let's move over this one.
Who's holding the football?
Just wait for Paul to turn around.
In?
Punch in. Smile. Punch in. Yeah, there you go.
Close. Get closer to.
Come on.
I think she has.
Stop waving your arms, Barbara.
Right.
Arms down.
Thank you.
Sarah.
Yes.
Okay, next up is the Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month proclamation. Whereas Alzheimer's disease, a progressive neurodegenerative brain disorder, tragically robs individuals of their memories and leads to progressive mental and physical impairments. Whereas Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States and is the only cause of death in the top 10 that has no cure, no treatment, and no way to slow its progression. And whereas more than 5 million people in the United States are living with Alzheimer's, including 99,000 in Maryland. And whereas there are over 289,000 dedicated caregivers who provide unpaid care at home in our state, valued at more than $4 billion. And whereas, according to the National Institute on Aging, Alzheimer's disease also indirectly costs businesses up to $37 billion a year in lost productivity for employees who miss work or leave their jobs to provide care for a relative. And whereas researchers in Maryland and around the world continue their efforts to develop scientific breakthroughs that could one day bring about a world without Alzheimer's disease. And whereas with early detection and diagnosis, individuals and their families can gain access to treatment medications, enroll in critical research trials, fully participate in planning for the future, and receive help and support from the Alzheimer's Association. And whereas there is a need to raise awareness about Alzheimer's disease and to honor all the caregivers who support and care for loved ones with Alzheimer's disease. Now, therefore, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners of Garrett County, do hereby proclaim June 2015 as Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, signed by all three commissioners. And Donna McClintock is here to receive this.
Get a little gift.
Next up, a very special moment for me personally, and I know the family of Caitlin Noel Frotz, as we give this proclamation on May 26, 2015, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners' commendation to Caitlin Noel Frotz, 2015 NCAA National Champion, Most Outstanding Player, Elite Eight Tournament. We, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners and the great people of our county, are happy to join together to extend our sincerest congratulations to you for the achievement of earning the 2015 NCAA National Championship as a member of the California University of Pennsylvania basketball team, and also being named Most Outstanding Player of the Elite Eight Tournament. Your commendable performance and strive for excellence began when you played at Northern Garrett High School, where you achieved such accomplishments as being a member of the state championship runner-up basketball team, four-year letter winner in basketball and soccer, four-time first-team All-Conference, two-time Conference Player of the Year, two-time Cumberland Times News All-Area Player of the Year, Cumberland Times News Athlete of the Year. You currently hold the career school record for points, assists, and steals, broke the all-time county record for points with 2,103 points, and also is a member of the state championship Final Four soccer team, and Cumberland Times News All-Area Soccer Offensive Player of the Year. We hereby bestow upon you as a token of our esteem and gratitude for your achievement this certificate of commendation signed by all three county commissioners. And we also have a framed county seal to present to you for representing your county with such integrity and outstanding performance. And for all of the stuff in this proclamation of her athletic achievements, she's a better young lady. So it's with great pleasure that I
hey, Bobby. Lose the crutches.
I am.
Jim was going to challenge you to a one-on-one.
But he was going to when he saw you on crutches.
Yeah.
That's the only way he's going to have a chance.
The list of accomplishments on there, you said.
Okay, one more. I know, Ken, quit laughing at me. Very good.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank
congratulations.
You.
Now what? What's next?
I got a grad assistant position.
Yes, you're going to coach?
To Georgia. I'm moving to Georgia.
Georgia?
So I'm going into coaching now at college.
Which college?
Valdosta State.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm staying in the same division. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You get away from your mom now, too, right here.
That's right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. It'll take me 45 minutes to sign on it.
Monty said I could use your rubber stamp, so.
Yeah.
So the insurance plan will be separate than the rest of the.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to present it a little differently.
Okay. You'll go over what each one of the extensions are. For the record.
Very briefly. Oh,
just for the
touch. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay, guys. Next up, the purchasing department, and I'll just turn this over to Mr. Bowers.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have one bid award for your consideration this afternoon, as well as 19 contract extensions. We'll start first with the bid award. This was for Garrett Kenny Insurance Plans. If you recall, we did a bid previously. We rejected 6 types of insurance. We rebid for those types under this bid. These bids were due on May 14th. We received a total of 5 bids. I had provided the memorandum and the bid tabulation under separate email. For your reference, after reviewing the bids for compliance with administrative requirements, we are making the recommendation to the board to award the commercial property insurance for the Board of County Commissioners to Legit in the amount of $48,618. Boiler and machinery insurance for the Board of County Commissioners to Legit also in the amount of $1,867. Personal property for employees and volunteers for the Board of County Commissioners to Legit in the amount of $14. Commercial property insurance for ASCII to Selective Insurance, or I'm sorry, it's BB&T Insurance, BB&T Frederick Underwriters, Selective as a carrier, in the amount of $11,428. Boiler machinery insurance for ASCII is actually included in the commercial property insurance. The personal property for employees for ASCII is also to BB&T and is included in the commercial property insurance. Mobile equipment insurance for the Board of County Commissioners is going to Legit in the amount of $5,381. Mobile equipment for ASCII is going to BB&T Frederick Underwriters in the amount of $512. And the basic life AD&D, this is for all active county employees, is going to ReliaStar Voya. The monthly rate is 0.169 per thousand. Dollars of salary and 0.024 for accidental death and dismemberment. This equates to about $5,493.95 a year. That's a 3-year rate guarantee for that particular contract or type of insurance. The long-term disability insurance is 0.31 per $100 of value, which equates to approximately $3,000 per year. It's a 3-year rate guarantee. When you sum all this up, you're looking at, it's barely a savings, but we're looking at about a $900 savings. If we wouldn't have rebid it, we were going to experience increases in the long-term disability, life, and AD&D. So that was my reason for rejecting those bids. So we're right around $900 in savings. When you add that to the other savings from the previous bid, you're right around $82,000 overall for this year. Plus the fact that you're locking into a 3-year rate guarantee for the life AD&D and LTD.
Questions?
Any questions?
Do we have a motion to approve the bid on the insurance?
So moved.
We have a second.
Yeah.
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll do all the rest of them together.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, there are 19 contract extensions. I'm briefly going to cover each one. Charlie has several as well, and we're asked for your approval at the end. Please stop me if you have any questions as we're working your way down through these. The first contract extension is for plumbing services. This is on an as-needed basis through our facilities and maintenance department. The current contractor is Byco Enterprises. We're asking the board to continue the contract with them. It's based on a basic labor rate of $48 an hour and a percentage markup of materials of 15%. The next contract extension is for custodial cleaning services. This is for the three Rhodes garages. The current contractor is Appalachian Crossroads. There is a per time charge for each garage. This has been increased over the previous contract amount due to the increase in the federal minimum wage. Whenever they bid it that way knowing that the minimum wage rates were going to increase. So that is built into these prices in the new contract year. The next is investment services. This is for the Garrett County Government Law Enforcement Retirement Plans, OPEP, LOSAP, and the health care plan. This is with First United Bank and Trust. The contract rate is based on the 35 basis points, and it's based on the plan value. So as the value increases, obviously, that contract amount increases. Back in fiscal year 2014, we were looking at approximately $153,000 ballpark for that contract. The next contract is for public relations marketing services. This is for our economic development office on an as-needed basis. The contractor is Platinum PR. Again, it's based on an hourly rate of $65. And it's based on a markup on materials and subcontracted services at 15%. The next contract extension is for uniform and mat rental services. This is for the Department of Public Utilities and solid waste employees. With UniFirst Corporation, there are various weekly costs for those, as well as mats for various departments, mat service. The next contract extension, this is for inmate health care services for the detention center. The annual contract amount, just let me back up a minute. The contractor is ConMed Inc. out of Hanover, Maryland. The contract amount for this year beginning July 1 will be $308,772. There's a per diem rate in there for pharmacy services of $1.14. And there's also a per diem rate in there of $1.14 on the inmate population of 50 or greater. Because right now that base $308,000 is based on a population of 50. And it fluctuates, as it fluctuates, that price is adjusted up and down based on that per diem. This is a 3% increase over the fiscal year 2005 contract rate for this particular contract. The next contract extension is for bond counsel services. This is for any bonding that we need throughout the course of this next fiscal year. It's with Funk and Bolton out of Baltimore, Maryland. The contract amount is $19,000. Now, this is based on a $10 million bonding capacity. So obviously, if we don't need them, we're not paying them anything. But that's the amount that we could issue in bonds annually is the $10 million. So that's why it could fluctuate up and beyond that $19,000 threshold. The next contract extension is inmate dental services. This is for the inmates, obviously, in the detention center and is handled through the Garrett County Health Department. Their dental program through the health department. And we normally just pay whatever the Medicaid rate is or less, and it's mainly for just extractions. There isn't any other dental fees that we would pay for besides x-rays. And the final one that I have is for electrical services. Again, this is identical to the plumbing services bid and the marketing. It's with Evergreen Electrical as the contractor, and it's based on a basic labor rate of $45 an hour and a 15% markup for materials. Did you have any questions on my segment? It's It's a lot of information to digest.
Larry's still awake over.
Probably. Bore you with the details.
Well, you had sent us all that information.
Yeah. It's a wealth of information. So Charlie has a few more to cover for you.
Unfortunately, 11 more for you. First one I have is for vending machines, for vendor vending. Next one we have is for digital cell phones through USL out of Cumberland, Maryland. We have filters out of Taz Automotive out of Glasgow, Kentucky. The next one we have is cylinder gases for the roads department from Airgas out of Cumberland, Maryland. We have refuge hauling from Perry Solid Waste, and there is two additional years of renewals for that if we agree to that. The next item we have is for chain and augers from Humongous Supply out of New York. We have liquid asphalt out of Hammermaker East out of Fayetteville, PA. And that does have a pricing mechanism, so our price is lower than what we did last year. Next one we have is recycled material hauling. That's through Sunrise Sanitation. That also has two more additional years of renewals. Next bid we have, we'd like the extension on, is Hot Mix. And that is through Keystone, Belt, and IA Construction. And that is based on construction site and the garage doing the work. We'll base it on the mileage and do the lowest rate we can. And that also has a pricing mechanism, so we are seeing a reduction of almost 6% from last year in the pricing. Next one I have, gentlemen, is for motor oil from PPC Lubricants of Jonestown, PA. And the last one is crushed stone aggregates, and that is delivered to solid waste is through Barely Minerals and Keystone. And when we pick it up with our trucks, we'd like to award a contract extension through Keystone, Georges Creek, and Maryland Minerals. And there is a matrix for them that's based on job location and lowest price then.
Out of curiosity, how many bids did we get on the garbage bids?
Two.
Just two?
Yes, sir. From last year.
What's the pricing on the multi-year? It's been my experience with municipal government, you're better off going with one, but you would have more experience with that at this
point. We had, under direction, we rebid that under direction of the previous board.
Okay.
But when you rebid it, there were
correct.
Two bidders and there was a renewal option
right.
in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Motion to approve all aforementioned contract extensions.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'll sign these after the meeting.
No problem.
Okay.
Get the paper.
We'll leave tomorrow.
Okay. Before you guys leave, I think for the public record and for the public to know, Brian just recently received another grant from MES. MEA for the some of you guys come to all these meetings, you know that we're working on some solar energy stuff. What was the amount?
It was $142,500
in addition. So great work by Brian and his team, and
yes.
Public commendation definitely deserved. So thank you guys very much for all that you're doing to help save our taxpayers some money.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
That's money we would have had to spend to implement the solar.
Yeah, it's my hope that we will not incur any out-of-pocket expenses with this project, period.
Which would be fantastic.
What exactly is the project?
Brian, you want to give an update? Because we've actually, and we've expanded it from the one meeting because we added Grantsville and some other things.
Yeah,
so go ahead and give a brief explanation.
The county is actually moving forward with a company called Solar City Corporation to construct three ground solar array projects throughout the county. One is at the DPU wastewater treatment plant on Mayhewen Road. The other is behind the Rhodes Garage on Francis Sanders Drive. And the final one, as Commissioner Edwards indicated, is out in the Grantsville area to the west of the trash collection site. It's approximately 5.4 megawatts of power we're going to be generating, which is approximately 77% of the county's annual load. We're locking it at a 20-year PPA rate of 0.065 per kilowatt hour, which is a lot less than what our current rate is that we're paying per kilowatt hour under our electric cooperative that we're a member of. We're projecting to save over a 20-year period. Worst case scenario savings is around $2.25 million. The Solar City folks are projecting our savings could be anywhere from 4.5 to 5 million over the 20-year period. We are basically, we're in a PPA agreement, which finances the construction of these three arrays. So we're hoping to start with the Oakland site first, and then we're going to move on to the Franceville site, and then finally the DPU site. We had to seek a special exception with the Planning Commission and the Appeals Board for the DPU site. We had a hearing last week with the Appeals Board on that, and at this point, the ruling is favorable for it. There are some setback requirements that Solar City has to make, and as long as they meet those requirements, we're good to move forward with that site as well.
The figure you cited, 75%, it's 75% of the requirement for those facilities where you're putting these in.
No, that's actually of our annual countywide load. I mean, whatever, any of the power that the county uses annually, we are going to be generating 77% of that with renewable energy.
I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah.
That's outstanding work, guys. All right.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Okay. Now we'll go to public commentary. We'll go to public commentary until 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, we will need to go to a public hearing on the CDBG funding. So, public commentary, is there anything that anybody has to say or questions? Guys make it too easy on us sometimes.
We'll save it up for another time. Don't want it to be too brief or short.
I'm sure.
Wanted to have a little impact, you know.
Just a couple of real quick announcements, and then we'll take a break. Our next meeting, as part of our effort to get to some of the farther areas of the county to be more accessible to the folks, we'll be in Bloomington at the Fire Hall on Tuesday, June 2nd, at 5 o'clock. So if you're interested in attending that meeting, we'll be in Bloomington. I have a feeling it'll be well attended. Those folks always come out down there. And in July, we'll have a meeting in Grantsville. And then in August, I think we're going to try to get to Kitsmith. So we'll keep you posted on that and keep you up to speed. Also, we have a budget hearing at the college on, Monty, you know the date right off?
Room 209.
June 9th at 7 o'clock. If you're interested in that, the requested budget's online now. And is there anything else I'm missing?
Not for me.
All right. We'll take a break, and we'll come back at 5 o'clock for the public hearing on the CDBG funding. Program. And at this time, I'll turn the public hearing over to Ms. Peggy Jameson.
All right. As of right now, the state anticipates getting $7,019,706 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for the state fiscal year of 2016 for the program. They plan to allocate approximately 2% plus $100,000, about $240,000 to state administration, $70,000 give or take to technical assistance, and $4,603,203 to community development projects, and special projects approximately 30% at just over $2.1 million. The objectives to the Maryland CDBG program are that maximum priority be given to activities that benefit low and moderate income persons and households that have an income equal to or less than the Section 8 lower income limits established by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. or the project aids in the prevention of or elimination of slums or blight, or it meets a community need that is an urgent or immediate threat. Some of the other program objectives are revitalizing older neighborhoods and established communities, leveraging CDBG funds with other public programs and private resources, directing growth to existing population centers, providing essential public services to low and moderate income persons, and encouraging collaboration with the Maryland state, federal, and local programs that are focused on community development, economic development, and planning efforts. Currently, we have one project that we're looking to submit. This is a project, it's a request for funding for health and safety repairs for low-income elderly and disabled homeowners. It's a program that the Community Action Agency has done for a gazillion years, not quite a gazillion, but for lots of years. I'm very familiar with that program. The application, we're looking to apply for approximately $150,000. This would be countywide rehab. And again, they have to meet the income guidelines. The application is due to the state a week from Friday, June 5th. Anybody have any questions?
Peggy, is that the amount that we historically have gotten?
You can apply up to $800,000 per jurisdiction, so the county could apply for $800,000, but we don't have any other projects. I don't know, what is your... What
no,
you
well, the change, we didn't get the money last year, so it's not been every year, but they ask this time that we actually identify the properties before we even submit the application, so the application will list the properties in the pipeline, and that's what we have in the pipeline.
So that's why the 150. I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question. Yeah.
Thank you.
Part of this application does require a resolution from the Board of Commissioners that it's something that you all will need to pass. But any other questions from anyone? Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Any other questions or comments on the CDBG money? Hearing none, I'll need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. And now the public hearing is closed. And now for resolution to that end, whereas the state of Maryland through the Department of Housing and Community Development has solicited applications from eligible jurisdictions to apply for funding under the Maryland Community Development Block Grant Program, and whereas Garrett County is eligible to apply for funds from the Maryland Community Development Block Grant Program through the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development, and whereas the Garrett County Board of County Commissioners have held the required public hearing related to formulation of Garrett County's block grant application, whereas the Garrett County Board of County Commissioners understand and acknowledge that they would be responsible for completion of grant activities and any corrective actions, including the repayment of funds if necessary, now therefore be it resolved that the Garrett County Board of County Commissioners authorizes the submittal of an application for community development block grant funds, the amount of $150,000 on this 26th day of May 2015 for the following project: home repair, funding for health and safety repairs for low-income elderly and disabled homeowners. Be it further resolved that Paul C. Edwards, Chairman of the Garrett County Board of Commissioners, is authorized and empowered to execute any and all documents required for the submission of the application. Do we have a motion to adopt the resolution?
Motion to adopt.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Resolution is passed as written.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
guys.
You.
Thank you.
Did you? Okay. Do you want me to copy that? I'll leave it here. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no other business, can we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So
we have a second.
Second.
Motion a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much, and we'll see. Whoever wants to go to Bloomington next week, we'll see you in Bloomington.
It'll be warm. Dress light.
and humid.
Oh, my God, it'll be warm down there.
Thank you. You two are here. It was so quiet.
I know.
Good to see you.